A new member joins the Haynes School Board, and pressure mounts over waterfront lease in Skagway. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Barrett Wilbur. Those stories and more up next. The Haynes School Board has a new member. Michael Wald will fill a seat left open after the October election. Only three candidates ran for four open seats. After incumbents Brian Clay, Sarah Chapel, and Anne-Marie Palmieri were reelected, the board requested letters of interest to fill a one-year appointment. Michael Wald, who's lived in Haynes for the last eight winters, was the sole applicant. Wald has two children in the Haynes school. He has a background in science and environmental education and runs a guiding company out of Fairbanks in the summer.
I'm not applying to be on the school board because I have a particular agenda or a pet project. I'd just like to see what's happening on the school board and see how I can help with the current work.
After interviewing Wald, who called into the meeting from Ireland, the board took a vote on whether or not to approve him.
Okay, let's vote on the motion then, please.
Clay?
Yes.
Chapel?
Yes.
Gross?
Yes.
Swinton?
Yes.
Schwartz?
Yes.
Palmieri?
Yes. Okay. Great. So, Michael, that was unanimous.
After swearing in Wald and the three incumbent members, the board chose officers. Palmieri remains school board president, Swinton is vice president, and Clay is secretary treasurer. The board expects to deal with falling enrollment, budget constraints, and hiring a new superintendent this year. The Skagway Assembly will meet outside of City Hall chambers this weekend. The group is holding a retreat to help find a solution for the future of the waterfront. At a regular assembly meeting Thursday night, one thing was made clear. Skagway needs to move forward, with or without a new Tidelands lease with the White Pass and Yukon Route Railroad. KHNS's Abby Collins reports.
Skagway and White Pass are trying to come to an agreement on waterfront land use. This summer, the municipality and the railroad began work on a memorandum of understanding that would introduce a new 15-year lease for the railroad. It would also make way for the municipality and railroad to move forward with port renovations. The assembly didn't dig further into a draft memorandum at Thursday's meeting, saving that for Saturday's retreat. But the waterfront lease was still a topic of conversation. Tim Borsey chairs the Port Commission. He said the assembly needs to make a decision on whether to move forward with the MOU. And he said something needs to happen this year.
We have now four administrations, a decade of work, and we have nothing to show for it. I'm not saying that the work that has been done without accomplishing things, but it is a complete failure on the part of the municipality and the port stakeholders.
Assemblyman Tim Cochran agreed that the group needs to move quickly.
We need to do something, and it's critical for our future economy, so we need to get this rolling and get something to White Pass as soon as possible.
Resident Beth Smith said the livelihood of community members is at stake. Skagway needs a new floating dock to accommodate larger cruise ships in coming years. Because of the current lease, they can't build without White Pass's cooperation. White Pass wants a lease extension in exchange. Smith urged the assembly to support a new lease with the railroad to pick up after the current agreement ends in 2023.
I think it's an enormous gamble to take with every single person's livelihood in town. If we don't get those ships in 2019, it could be disastrous for years and years to come.
White Pass official Tyler Rose said it's important voters get a chance to weigh in on the new agreement.
It is a big decision. There's a lot of folks who are concerned and have come forward with this. It does affect the whole community, and getting to a vote, I believe, is important one way or the other, so we can learn. I think with the prior failed lease, there were a lot of parts that people didn't like, and I know one of the sentiments was, well, they'll come back with a better deal.
Rose said he thinks they now have a better deal. Ken Russo said when voters rejected a 35-year Tidelands lease extension in 2015, it was unclear what residents wanted instead.
If the sentiment in the community is that they don't want a lease at all,
no matter what you do up there and for how long you do it and you put it to the voters, it's going to get shot down.
White Pass's Rose said the railroad is planning some port improvements to help facilitate bigger ships in 2019. Mayor Monica Carlson pointed out those fixes would buy Skagway some time to make more extensive renovations. At a meeting in September, Carlson proposed halting negotiations with White Pass before suggesting the assembly retreat to address the lease proposal. Reporting in Haines, I'm Abby Collins.
The assembly retreat is open to the public. It's scheduled for Saturday, November 4th at 7 p.m. at the new public safety facility. Compostable waste makes up nearly a quarter of the waste that ends up in Juneau's landfill. Yet the food scraps, green waste, and other organic material could be put to better use. As part of Coast Alaska's series Talking Trash, Jacob Resnick reports on a small Juneau startup that's demonstrating how it can be done.
Juneau Compost is a woman in a truck kind of operation. It's Lisa Doherty and a green Chevy pickup with a finicky ignition switch.
This just started happening this past week, and I'm like, oh no. Oh yeah. Whew.
Each Friday, the commercial fisherman and small business owner drives from one end of Juneau's road system to the other, collecting compost bins set out by her customers.
And so I pull up to people's houses, grab their bucket, dump the contents in my truck, and then leave their bucket at the curb.
This is her first year in business. Households and businesses collect their compostables and pay a monthly fee for Doherty to haul away. Juneau's landfill accepts conventional recyclables, such as aluminum cans and plastics, but stuff like food waste otherwise gets lumped in with the rest of the trash. Doherty says it doesn't have to be that way.
Community composting is something that goes on all over the country, and it's actually shocking that it hasn't happened here yet.
Most of her clients already pay for curbside trash and recycling pickup, so why pay for another service? For one, it's keeping material out of the landfill. Juneau's privately run dump is projected to fill up in the next 20 years. That may seem like a long time away, but finding another site won't be easy. Juneau has even talked about shipping its waste south, as five other southeast cities do. The city is working on a diversion strategy to extend the landfill's lifespan. That could one day include a city-run composting operation on a large scale. Juneau's solid waste coordinator, Jim Pinor, says composting food, paper scraps, and green waste makes sense on a number of levels.
Well, the value of running composting, number one, is diverting that waste stream from going into a landfill is one. That's a huge benefit. Another benefit is to actually compost it into a marketable product or a usable, beneficial use product, namely being, you know, a good topsoil.
Juneau Compost is already working the topsoil production angle. At an eight-acre property in an area north of town that Juneau folk refer to as out the road, Doherty unloads the day's pickups. Under a tarp, there's a compost heap she's been tending since her operation started in April. She produces something that resembles an oversized meat thermometer to take its temperature.
So your compost pile is alive. It's full of billions of organisms per gram. It's crazy. And so basically, when you create the right sort of environment, all those bacteria are colonizing, and they're working, and they're producing heat.
She's checking to make sure it reaches 131 degrees. That's to kill pathogens, making it safe to handle. Eventually, the bacteria breaks down the food waste, old paper and green matter, into a dark, mealy material called humus. It takes months to mature and smells faintly sweet. Plants love it.
It looks like soil. It's high in organic matter. It's full of nutrients. And it's definitely a good nitrogen boost. And you can use it as a growing medium. So like when I make new raspberry breads, I mix in compost, sand, and seaweed. And that's it. I don't buy topsoil or get bagged topsoil or anything.
Doherty keeps track of how much compost is collected from each client. That tally will eventually be a credit towards buying the nutrient-rich mix she'll sell for home gardening. Of course, her operation doesn't approach the scale envisioned by the city's municipal planners, but it demonstrates that it can work in Juneau, and that's already earning praise.
I think it's wonderful what Juneau Compost is doing.
Darren Snyder is the agriculture agent with the University of Alaska Fairbanks Cooperative Extension Service in Juneau.
And Lisa has provided essentially a truth and concept that people will participate and people will pay to participate. And she's able to successfully compost moderate quantities of waste and And it certainly is doable. There's no question that we can compost our waste here.
It's still small scale. Juneau's privately run landfill takes in about 32,000 tons of garbage annually. During the past 6 months, Lisa Doherty's personally diverted about 10 tons. But for Snyder, there's a moral imperative not to landfill compostable waste, especially when it can be put to good use.
We can turn this stuff into something that's beneficial, and it just should be done. I don't know how else to put it.
In Juneau, I'm Jacob Resnick.
For KHNS News, I'm Barrett Wilbur.